Amen. Your time is drawing near. Won't be long. We sing that song, but a lot of truth to that song. It won't be very long. Good to see those who are back this afternoon. Turn your Bible to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Visit with us. We're thankful to have you with us. And we pray you will be blessed from the assembly and worship with us on this afternoon. This study, our sermon selection, came as a result of me sitting in the hospital with my wife, thinking at the age of 57 how much she's gone through since I've been married to her. She was 20 years old when we first experienced from our first child. We thought she was going blind. And it turned out she had, at that point, we thought it was lupus, but it wasn't diagnosed at the time. And from that 20-year of age to today, she struggled with her health through all kind of things and just one thing after another, from the steroids swelling her up and all the sickness that come with that. And then we found out in the midst of that there was a tumor on the end of her pancreas. It was not cancerous, but they had to remove it. And upon removing the tumor, she lost the secretion of insulin through her pancreas, thereby making her a type 2 diabetic. From that point on, we had to manage her sugars levels going up and down and uncontrollable. The interaction with the steroids required to keep the lupus under control drove the sugars up and down. And from that, the steroids then destroyed her joints, which means she now have to have a hip replacement and two hip knee replacements. She has gone through tremendous amount of pain, and many times she can come among the church and smile, but I know what she's going through. And then with recent concerning news, as we sit there, I see her cry. And I see her getting tired. I don't know what to say. And it made me that day ask God, why her? Why my wife? And I know she's asking why. Because I can see it. I can see the depression coming on her. I tell some of you to call her, encourage her. And I'm not trying to do this from a pity standpoint, but I am seeing that life can send us so much stuff that we have to evaluate our lives. And yeah, asking why is not a bad thing. It is something you can't know the answer to. And so as I was studying my Bible and reading John and nothing was coming to me, I thought about Job. You know, the old saying is you can look around and someone else has it worse than you. And I thought about Job, a man that could lose 10 children on one day. All my children are living. All Sharon's children are living. But imagine all of your children dying on the same day. What mother could hold herself together? Job's wife spoke like a foolish woman. But I wouldn't criticize her too much until you don't experience losing 10 children. Job had it all. Things were going good in his life. And now, you know, he goes from riches to nothing. All of his livestock died. Everything's going being destroyed. His life is in a shambles. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die?
But that wasn't the end of the story.
Not only did he go through these mental pains he was struggling with, then he had to deal with the fact that Satan went back to God again. He said, I'll tell you what, you touch his body. And Satan was saying, that'll do it. So sores from the top of his head, crown of his head, to the bottom of his feet, he had boils. I only had one boil in my life under my arm. And the doctor told me, you can scream, but don't move. Lord have mercy, I wanted to move more than scream. It was so painful. I cannot imagine having boils all over my body. I don't know what that would be like. I don't know if I can handle the pain that comes with it, but Job did. And this thing, Job had an answer in Job 23. I was just reading through Job, and I picked up on Job 23 in that bedroom, in that hospital room, and here's what Job said. This thing that is appointed for me. This thing that is appointed for me. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be sickness. It could be health. It could be finances. It could be your marriage. It could be the wrong spouse you select. It could be your life. It could be your children. It could be a child that's on drugs and you know nothing about what to do. It could be your life. You're in a box. You're in darkness. You're in a home. You don't know how you got in that situation you're in. But this thing is appointed. And that's the thought you ought to leave with this afternoon. That things will be appointed to your life and God can change anything. God can stop anything. God can allow anything. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this sermon is more for, not just for me. It's not just for Sharon, because Sharon got hers, I got mine, but you got yours. Let's look at Job, how he answered. So my thought is, how do Christians deal with life and what's coming, what's unexpected? Well, here's how Job was thinking in chapter 23, just for a few minutes after. Then Job answered and said,
even today is my complaint bitter.
Now, Job answered, he's answering, he responded to Eliphaz, which was a conversation in chapter 22, that Eliphaz, what he was doing, Eliphaz said, Job, why don't you just go on, humble yourself and repent, because you know you done something wrong to me. And all of Job's friends thought he had done something wrong. They were thinking that he had done something wrong. Let me just say something. We ain't always suffering because we're sinning. Amen. 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 I wouldn't want to suffer because I sin. I'd be suffering a whole lot, wouldn't you? Be honest, or just lie if you want to. The point is that we all have sinned and fallen short. We'd all be lying if we didn't say that. But we're not all suffering because we've sinned. We didn't lose a loved one because we sinned. Mama, he's not taking people because we sinned. Life is going to send us death. All of us going to experience the death of our loved ones. We're going to do it. This thing is appointed. You can't stop it. You can't change it. You can't undo it when it happens. It's going to happen. And there's going to be people around us who's going to believe we're suffering because we've done something wrong. And we all know this story goes that Satan approached God and God asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm down in the earth going to and fro, in and out of homes and in and out of lives. Look what he was saying. He's bragging. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And so upon that request, he said, no, you got a protection around him. You hedged him in. I can't get to him. And that's the beauty of being a child of God, is that Satan got to ask God permission before he can come mess our lives up. Amen. But that don't mean God won't allow it. Somebody said there was not the permissive will of God. There's no such thing. But if God don't allow it, that means he don't permit it. If you don't understand permission, permission is you got to ask God's permission. In other words, God allows what he wants to come in our lives. And this thing has become a thing that is appointed for us. And what the gist of this whole lesson is, we must accept the will of God in our lives. Amen. He said, Lord Joe, he said, even to this day, my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. His suffering is tremendous. Imagine what he's suffering. He's suffering right now. He do not know. And as children of God, there will be times in our life our complaint will be bitter. We're bitterly complaining because, man, who wants pain? Why do you think he gave us tear ducts? We don't supposed to like pain. We don't supposed to like suffering. Sometimes we complain because we don't understand why we're suffering. Sometimes the complaining is like a stroke or a burden that's heavy. Our groaning is hard. God groaned. Jesus groaned. And we groan. Who want the death call? Who want cancer? Who want chemotherapy? None of us. We're going to groan. We're going to be just like Job. But God gave us a family. He said, bear ye one another's burdens. But every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, whatever God appoints to us, to me, I got to deal with it. You have a choice. I have a choice. We can deal with life with God or we can deal with life without God. But you got to deal with what life comes, what comes with life. Why? It's appointed. This thing is what? Appointed. There it is. This thing that is what? Appointed for who? Me. That's what you got to leave with. This will change the way you're thinking about things. See, Job is saying, man, this thing is burning me. It's bearing his burden. He's burdened by it. He's having to bear it. Even though he don't understand it, he said, my complaint is bitter. I got to say these bars are hurting. I got to say my wife was talking foolish. I got to tell you I lost everything, but I don't know why. That's what he's saying. Is that bitter complaining or? Is it justified? I'd say so. Oh, nobody questions God. Listen to this. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him.
That I might come,
that
even,
I might
to
come
his seat.
Even to his seat. Job said, if I could find him, if I could just talk to God, if I could just get to him, I could get an answer. He said, now, I would order my calls
before him. And I said, fill my mouth
he was
with
saying,
arguments.
I would go, God, what is, let me tell me what my cause is. I will fill my mouth with arguments. I don't deserve this. I've been good to you. I've been faithful to you. I've been keeping your commands. I would argue my cause. He said, I would just talk to God about it. No, he said, I would know the word but which he would answer me and understand.
What he
I
would
knew
say unto
that
me.
God could give me an answer. And he's right, because God would have said, son, what I did is that Job wanted to test you, and I said yes. If only he could have talked to God, he could have got an answer. That's what he was saying. And I know God would have gave me an answer that I would have understand. If sometimes we go through things, I'm talking from a personal level. I'm not talking about just y'all no more. I'm talking about if we could just ask him, we could understand that, but we can't. You follow what I'm saying? And when you get like that, you got to understand this thing that is appointed. Look at this. I would know the words which he would answer me and I would understand it. But guess what ain't going to happen? God ain't going to come talk to him. Not about that. You're going to ask him, where were you at when I laid the foundation of the world? He said, gird up your loins. You're speaking in darkness. You don't know the answer. That's what it is, Job. And he's going to come to him in a whirlwind. He's going to say, you spoke without counsel. You got dark counsel. What you do is trust me. And Job said, I spoke once and I spoke twice. I ain't saying no more. Had the respect he needed for God. And those of us living this life now, no matter what comes, how big the burden, how deep it may be, the valley may be, how high the mountain may be, how dark the moments may be, we can understand this, that God hasn't left us. Notice what he says. Will he plead his case against me?
With his great power?
What he said, now he said, God, and Job was asking a question, then he's going to answer. He said, no. What God's going, he going to use all his power against me? No.
But he would put strength in me.
But I know this, if I could get to him, he would strengthen me through this situation. Ain't that good? He said, no, I ain't going to go. God ain't going to just take me down and use his power against me. But if I could just get to him and talk to him, if I could just get to God, when he tell me something, I'm going to understand it. Then he can give me some strength to get through the storm. I don't know about y'all, but there have been times when I've been through a storm, man. And I know I didn't know how I was going to make it through it. I did not know. Have you been there? Well, you didn't know how you going to make it through, and you look back and you say it couldn't have been nobody but God. Listen, he said, there the righteous might dispute
with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge.
Can't nobody dispute with God, folks say. Job said the righteous can. The eyes of the Lord are over who? The righteous. The ears are open to what? Their prayer. I can ask God whatever I want to ask God. The righteous is the one he's looking. God is looking. And Job is saying, the righteous. I'm righteous, man. I've lived right. And you know, you ought to live in a way where your confidence is if you die, you're all right with God. You know you can answer prayer. We talked about that this morning. James did a wonderful job in the Bible class over there. And we're talking about, you know, some of us deceive ourselves. Talking about we can pray and know we in sin. Deceive yourself as if God gonna respond to you and you're not in a righteous living state. What I'm saying is that it's not that we can, it's that we choose not to. But Job was in a situation. Listen to him. I let him tell you. Behold,
I go forward.
Job said, I'm going forward. But if I go forward, God is not that. I mean, what he's doing, he's in either search mode. He's searching for God. I'm going through this thing. I'm struggling. This thing is appointed for me, but I'm looking for God for the answer. This is what we're doing. In our life, we ought to be looking for God. I go forward. He's not there.
And backward.
Backwards.
But I cannot perceive him.
I can't understand him. And on the left hand.
Where he doth work, but I cannot behold him.
But I can't find him on the left.
He hided himself on the right hand.
Uh-huh.
That I cannot see him.
I can't see him. Job is looking for God. He desires to know why he's suffering. Verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. Now he said, I can't find God, but God know. God know the way that I take. He know where I'm going. I can't know where he's going. He can go to the east. He can go to the west. He can go to the north. He can go to the south. I can chase him at the east. I can chase him to the west. I can go north or south. I can go high or low. But I can't find God. But God always know where I am. That's what he's saying. I guess you got to be a Christian a long time to start enjoying messes like that, man. Like, God always know where you at. That's what he said. I always know what mess you done got yourself into. That racist team. He always know our pains, our suffering, our inner emotions when we are hurting inside. See, some people, you know, sometimes in our life we express ourselves, but the true inward man is the one who's in pain. It don't always show on the outside. It don't all, you can't just look at somebody and say what they're going through. And this is why we should love people at the church. Because if we're going through all that craziness in the world, I ought to become among God's people. And even though I might not be smiling and happy all the time, or maybe I can do like Sharon, you can come here as if everything's good, but on the inside she's crying. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. That we can be like that? But God know when you're smiling, if it's a real smile. God know your inner thoughts. He knows your inner feelings. He knows what you're going through. And he knew Job's way. He knew Job was saying, God know, I know he know, but I can't understand it. Hmm. This is what he says.
When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
You know, he's saying, look here. One thing about gold, if you put it in fire, the purities burn out of it, impurities. And when it come out, it's pure gold. So what he's saying is that I got to go through this. This thing has been appointed to me, and I got to go through it. But I know this. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know where God is at right now. I don't even know why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I know in the end, here's a man of God. Here's a man of faith. Here's a man of faith. He said, the test is on. The fire is hot. But I'm going to come through. I'm going to come through like pure gold. Here he says, verse 11, he said, my foot here's why he can speak with confidence, y'all. Here's a man who done lived the life. He said, you know what? I can say this about myself. My foot
had held his steps. His ways have I kept.
I'm walking with God.
And not declined.
His way I have kept. I have not left his word. He said, neither have I gone back
from the commandment of his lips.
This is not because I left God. This is not because I've been unfaithful. This is not because I haven't kept his step. This is not because I didn't confess when I was supposed to. This is not because I don't admit our sin. This is not because I miss worship. This is not because I miss Bible class. This is not because I didn't study the Bible. This is not because I didn't know the commandments. I can't nobody say that I did it. I know I did these things. Job knew he did these things. And Job said, I did it, and it's not because I did something to God. And he's saying, I know that's not why. He's right. Wasn't he right? Because God said to Satan, he asked him, he said, have you considered my servant? Who he said he was? My servant, Job. So can I serve God and know I'm serving him? Yes. Can I serve God and know I'm okay with God? Yes. Can I serve God where I know my relationship is right with God? Yes. 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 That's where Job was at. And he was absolutely right. Notice what he says. I have not gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, I clung. What he's saying to man, look here. He really did study the word of God. He was listening to the word of God. And he was kind of like David. That word was like sweet as honey to him. It was more than food. That's why we seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are hunger and what? Thirst after what? Righteousness. That's the way he saw himself. His desire was more for the word of God than it was to eat a meal. You know why some people in the church can't do it? When they're going through a storm, they fall apart. They don't got no word in them. That's it. They got that Sunday morning, drink the wine, go live the life of 5-6 more days, come back Sunday morning, drink some more. Ain't no word in them. The core membership are in everything they can get in. Everybody like Job, they going to get everything they can get. They going to get every word they can get. If it's a 30-minute conference call, they going to get that. They're going to get a Bible class. They're going to get worship. They're going to get everything they can get because they know they're okay with God and they're going to stay okay with God. Amen. But listen, he said.
But he is in one mind.
God is in one mind.
And who can turn him?
See. He said, when God set his mind on something, which one of us going to turn him? How are we going to make God change his mind about something? He said, now Job said, I know this is God. When God say he go, something going to happen, it's going. He cannot go back. He cannot lie. It's impossible to lie. He's not going to go back on a promise. No, he said, what his soul desired, even that he, whatever he God say he's going to do, he's going to do. Now watch how he bit this in verse 14.
For he performed the thing that performed, is appointed for me.
When he performed. He performed. What do you mean? He performed on Job. What he happened. He performed on Job this thing that was appointed to him. He performed it. He allowed it. He put it in action. In other words, he said yes to Satan. He said yes to 10 dead children. He said yes to the boss. God performed it. He put it in action. So my question to you and I. What has God performed in your life? You know what amazes me is that people who I thought were Christians, were strong Christians, when something God performs in their life, they stop worshiping. He said, where you at, sister? Where you at, brother? I'm just going through some things. So what is the answer? You know, Joe, where you at, Joe? Did you leave God? No, I didn't leave God. Here's the, he said, hey, when God performed the thing that's appointed for me, and he could have put more on me.
And many such things are with him.
It could have been worse. See? when we think we got it bad. Let me see it to this side. When we think we got it bad, he can send more. They missed it over there. When we think we got it bad, Job is saying, what I got ain't good, but I know he can send some more. I ain't finna challenge that. Then in verse number 15.
Therefore, am
now I that I know all this, I know God can bring more than what I'm dealing with now. He said, I am what? Trouble at his what?
Presence.
Whoa. Just the fact that God can bring more than what I'm going through. Watch the fear. I am afraid
of him.
Is that a negative? Is that a negative? Consider this. Solomon said it. Let us hear. The conclusion of the whole matter. That matter is called L-I-F-E. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. Is that not what Job said he did? I kept his step. I never left his commandments. I went, I did what he did, and now I got this thing given to me, but I also fear because God is able to bring some more on me, and I don't want it. Ain't that what God said about him, too? When Satan approached him and he asked God, God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect and upright man, one who feared God and exclude evil. It's not that he did mess up, but he knew how to go around some things. Just like, oh, it's not that we're not going to sin, but do you know the commandment to get right? Confess your fault one to another. Pray one for another. That's what you do. You keep the command. Confess, God, forgive me. Right where you are. Get it right. That means you fear and keep his what?
Commandments.
I'm at the end. I'm in verse 15, ain't I? Mm-hmm. Somebody came to me the other day and said, Brother Brooks, I'm going to tell you, I know this is not going to sell well with the majority, but sometimes you have to listen to the minority, not the majority. Because minority say, go up there, Brother Brooks, can you give us a 5 minute, let us go home, because they done ate roast and beef and chicken and potatoes and green beans and squash and whatever, pancakes and banana pudding and cake and you got all this sugar in you, and you're full, and you want all that physical food, and you want me to give you just a little spiritual to get you through or get you out. But anyway, somebody came the other week and said, Brother Brooks, now look here. Just because other folk, that don't mean you cut us short on the word. I come for get it, so I want mine. I said, well, I like that idea. You think how many people you think like that? She said, I don't know. It really doesn't matter. I'm just telling you about me. I said, I'm with you. I'm going to just listen to you then. Anyway, no, this is the last verse. But God make it.
My heart soft.
You know, God got a way of bringing us back down, y'all. God got a way of humbling us and putting us in our place. Let's be careful about getting high-minded and feeling like we all that. Because Job, even though he was a righteous man, he wasn't beyond this. God humbled that man. There was some humility in him that needed to be improved on. He said, God making my heart soft and Almighty troubled me because
I was not cut off before the darkness.
He said, but you know what, God, he had his hands on me. I know he troubling me, but one thing is because I'm still living. As long as we're living, God can place in our lives a travail. And here's how Solomon said, this sort of veil, chapter 1, verse 13, have God given to the sons of men to be exercised. See, y'all, what Job had was from the hand of God. It was a travail, but he was still living. You follow me? Mm-hmm. He was still what? Living. And he had, notice, neither had he covered the darkness
from my face.
In other words, what Job is saying, I'm still living. And God is letting me see all this pain. How many of you all can see yourself? Mine is no comparison to maybe some of you. I mean, you get so sick, you get depressed. I mean, just a few months in the house, at my house, and people who know me know this happened to me. Actually, you might not know. But actually doing my back surgery, because I love what I do. Because I love preaching. I was in fear of not being able to do this. And just sitting there and not being able to jump up like you used to, and not being able to swing the golf club and then talk north like I used to talk. All that, going fishing and with Pete, bouncing around in the boat, that went away. I can't ride in the boat no more. I can't play golf no more. I can't preach. I can't stomp. I can't spit. I thought, think about all this stuff, bro. I mean, it's maybe a little funny to you, but for me, my life is different. I can't do nothing but sit here and wait on this narco to kick in. And then it kicks in, I get sick in the stomach. And then I got to deal with the pain or nausea. Which one you want? I ain't want neither one of them. I ain't like some of y'all. I ain't hooked on no dope. I'll try to put them pills away. Some folks asking for them. I don't want them. But the thing back is, here I am on Tramadol and Narco, and man, all this nasty medication. But when you stand up and the pain hits you so hard, you got to have something that makes you holler. All I'm saying is this. You can start going through stuff, brother. And Brother Philip went through some stuff. How many of y'all went through something recently with your health? Like, man, you wake up and all of a sudden you got a lump on your kidney and folk going, I want to cut. And then they land you on the table and they start asking all kind of questions. Do you have a living will? Uh-huh. Yeah, I got one. Do you have advanced directives? I'm on down. They said, now, you know, I'm side effects of anesthesia. You might not wake up. Oh, Lord. Somebody pray for me. You pray for me? All right. So what I was saying is that you can get depressed if the life perspective is not right. That's all I was saying. So Job, here's how Job said it, bro, Job. Here's how he said it. I'm still living. I know I'm going through it. And I know I ain't left God. I know I didn't mess up. I know I kept his step. I know I this ain't because I messed up. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him through. And that's the message for us. All of us understand when this thing comes up, or whatever you're going through, whether it's your health, your marriage, your family, your church family, whatever's going through at the church, you can understand that God could have stopped it. He let it happen. We have to accept the will of God. You got to quit running. You got to stay with God no matter what you're going through. God going to get you through it. You have to operate by faith. You have to say, this is the will of God, and I will deal with it with God on my side. That's when you know you got it going on. Amen. You don't leave God. You stick it out with God. You hold on to God, because God going to bring you through it. And he brought Job through more children, beautiful children, more money, more than he ever had. God blessed him. Amen. And I want my wife to be blessed. I want her to be blessed. But you know what a greater blessing it is than all getting all your stuff, all your health back? It's being able to accept the will of God. You say, God is still good. Amen. Not just some of the time, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Oh, man. Imagine after all we go through, you got to think about what God went through. When he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Isaiah said he saw the travail of his son. He saw the pain. He saw the whipping. He saw the beating. He seen everything he went through. God looked at it all, watched it all happen. Stood back and watched his child get executed on a cross, a crucifixion. He saw it all. But he let it go through. It was his will. It was his will that his son go through. And then his son accepted his will. He said, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. He was able to accept his will. God had his will. He let his will go through. His son accepted his will. And he said, greater love had no man than this. They laid down his life for who? His friends. Then he raised up from the grave. And he said, go teach them all nations. Go baptize them. Go teach them. Tell them what I've done. And then when you baptize them, teach them again. Teach them to observe Job. Teach them to observe Job was able to make it through it. And the message of you this afternoon, I hope it's encouraging. I hope it's encouraging. Say, you know, it ain't so bad. I'm going through it, but I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I'm going to hold on because I know one day there'll be a street that I can walk down. It's a street of gold. There'll be a place where there'll be no crying. There'll be a place where there'll be no more dying. I'll be with God and God will be with me. He'll wipe away all the tears. He's performed this. He put this thing in action. And I dare not leave it. I dare not complain bitterly without understanding that I will understand that God has done it. I performed it. He performed it. This is his will for my life. And therefore, I will continue to fear him because God can bring on more if I don't keep my life right in perspective. If what Jesus told the man after he healed the blind man, he caught him at the temple where he's worshiping. He said, now, go and sin no more. There's something worse come upon you. That's what Job was. He said, man, I accept it just like it is. Because it could be what?
Worse.
What should we be saying? I accept the will of God, and I know that things could be worse. Is that good? If you're here today and you're going through something, man, prayers of the righteous avail it much. You know, one of the songs I asked them to sing, Mercy, Lord, because when you're going through, you want mercy, and God gives us mercy. Mercy is what we all need in our life when we're going through storm, we're going through trial, and all my trial. We sing that song, Mercy, Lord, one of those songs that helps us understand. You know what, man? God is having mercies on us right now. We're still living. We're okay. No matter what you're going through, trust God. He's going to get you through. Mercy, Lord. Is that good? If you need to come, you want to be baptized, you got to hear the gospel, that death, burial, resurrection story. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me. Matthew 10:32. And then you got to be baptized as commanded by him in Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:18. Then the Lord would add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the only one to save the end. And maybe you tonight, you need that. You need God on your side because you're going to go through these storms. And let me tell you something. You don't want to go when he appoints something to you, when you appoint performance, you want God to be on your side like it was with Job. Amen. And if you got to do that, you got to obey the gospel. Or you need to come tonight for prayer. If you need something, you need us to pray with you to make confession. Keep the commandments of God. He have not hid his way from his foot. Job said, I stayed with him. I kept his commands. I did the things he needed me to do in order to be okay with him. When you come, as together we sing, Mercy.